Today is the fourth and the final message on the missions emphasis that we've had. And Tim, help me a little. I'll make sure I'm out of the monitors with this mic, if you will, and make sure I'm not too loud with anything. But the title of the message this morning is The Witness Around the World. And if you have your Bible, the book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, we'll be there in just a moment for that. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. You know, as we've been looking at this passage for the last month, for the last 4 weeks, there's a lot of things that just jump out of that passage to me. The verse literally says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And literally, we realize that our power comes from God. You know, you and I can do a lot of things, but if we would learn to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit, we could do so much more. I'm telling you, it would be easy for me this morning to slip back into the old style of preaching that Garland and Sandra and Lola and Rachel and some of them would know me from, the old Baptistical style, that ye shall receive power. You know, I don't know what's wrong with the Christians today. They're living beneath their potential. They ask them, "How you doing?" And they'll say, "Well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances." As a child of God, we do not have to live under the circumstances. We can live on top of them. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The problem is we don't depend on Him anymore. We just relegated Him back to a little place. Oh, I'd like to stay there, but I guess I need to go on. We need to realize that we need to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the job of witnessing and sharing the gospel. It's just our job to share the truth. It's His job to draw them into salvation. That's what Paul would talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 3, where he said, "I have planted, but Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase." And so we realize we must depend upon God to draw them unto salvation. And then we took it in that first week, and I believe Pastor Cotter talked about we should be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where we started home. I heard my pastor as a kid many times say, "The light that shines the furthest will shine the brightest at home." And we have a responsibility in our city, in our community, to reach those around us. But we also, just not collectively as a church, but individually, we have a responsibility to share the gospel. And a few weeks ago, we gave you an opportunity to fill out the Judean prayer list, the card for the Judean prayer list. And we've got more of them available here at the altars this morning. You can take another one and fill somebody's name out and say, "Pray for them." About 20 names came in. "Pray for these people. They're lost. Pray for these that I can witness to them." And so you can still do that, but we each have an individual responsibility. I was thrilled. Almost every card that came in did not say, "Would you send somebody?" It said, "Pray for me because I want to witness to them." That means this church is maturing and developing. We're realizing our personal responsibilities when it comes to sharing the gospel. Then we looked the next week, we were to be witnesses in Judea. We talked about Judea was an area that was in constant turmoil. From the time of King David through the divided kingdom, all through history, even in that area today that is known as the West Bank, that's Judea. That land has known nothing but turmoil. We talked about how we're to reach out to those around us that are in turmoil. We have a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that He is the only one that can bring peace in the storm that our nation is facing today. Last week, Pastor Cotter spoke on Samaria, people that are different. We are not all the same, and I'm glad we're not. It'd be a mighty boring world if we were. But regardless of our differences, God calls us to be a witness to everyone. Today we're looking at the final category where Jesus said we're to be a witness unto the uttermost part of the world. We're to be talking about our witness around the world. Understand that if this church is to be solid, if we're to be stable, we've got to be reaching out because into all four categories, because He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost." It's like a four-legged table. It's a lot more steady than a two-legged or a three-legged table. If we're going to be right with God, we've got to focus on all of them. It would be nice to say, "Let's just focus on us. Let's just take care of our little family here." But we've got to literally reach out if we're going to be right with God.
Well, if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, let's stand if you will. We'll just read that one verse. I'll read it. You follow along. We stand out of respect for the Word of God, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father, I come to you in prayer. Again, this morning we pray you'll stir our hearts for missions. May we be challenged to step out and do more by faith. Father, this morning intervene. My voice is weak. My flesh is weak. Spirit, take it and use it. Take it to deliver the message to the hearts of our people. May your will be accomplished this day, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we start this morning, let me just ask you, what kind of a church do you want? What kind of church do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of a church that is a friendly church, a welcoming church, one that invites others in as we come together? You know, I think that's important. Somebody said most people are kind and polite and sweet-spirited until you sit in their pew at church. You know what you mean? Hey, that's mine. Don't you sit there. I heard about an elderly lady who had gone to church, a little country church, her first time to visit there. There were some steps coming up to the auditorium, and as she came up the steps, there was an usher standing at the back and saw her coming in. And so he went down and greeted her, and he said, "Good morning, young lady." She said, "Well, hello, son." He said, "Let me help you up the steps." And he put his arm out and he began to usher in. And he said, "Let me help you find this place to sit. Where would you like to sit today?" She said, "Oh, honey, I want to sit on the front row." He said, "Ma'am, I hate to tell you, but you don't want to sit on the front row. Our preacher is real boring. You don't want to be that close." She stopped and she looked at him and she said, "Young man, do you know who I am?" And he said, "No, ma'am." She said, "I'm the preacher's mama." The usher looked back at her and said, "Well, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." He said, "Good." And away he went. Now, do you want a church that's friendly and welcome and invites other people in? I think we would all say that that is what we want. What kind of church do you want? You want a church that is forgiving? You understand, we're called to be witnesses. We're not called to be lawyers or judges. Scripture says we're to be fishers of men. I like what the old preacher used to say. He said, it's our job to catch them. It's God's job to clean them. I saw a church sign one time said, "Come as you are, you can change inside." You know what I'm talking about? I still think one of my favorite sayings is, if the law knew what the Lord knew, we'd all be in jail. You know what I mean? Do we want a church that's forgiving? How about this? Do you want a church that is Bible-believing? Do you understand that it's the Scripture that binds us together? It sets our standards, our purpose, our reason for being here. It tells us what our mission is. And I'll be honest, the flesh doesn't always want to follow the Word of God and what it says. But if we're going to be a true church, we have got to be built on Scripture. Amen? Y'all are weak this morning. Well, thank you, Jeffrey. Well, while we're at it then, talking about we need to be built on Scripture, you ready for it? How many of you are current in your daily Bible reading? Amen. I love it. Look at the hands. That's great. You stay with it. You're behind. You start in the book of Titus in the morning. We're reading Titus, Philemon, and I think the first chapter of Hebrews, if I remember. We only have about 60 chapters left, and we will have completely read through the New Testament this year. I think that's amazing. Somebody said to me recently, said, "Preacher, I've never read through the New Testament." This has been a great challenge for me. And so I commend you. I thank you for being faithful in your reading. And thinking about how fast this year has gone, let me just throw this out there for some of you. There are only 78 days until Christmas. Better start that shopping. Well, what kind of church you want? You want a church that's Bible-believing? You want a church that's forgiving? You want a church that's loving? I think I'd definitely say if I want a church, I want one that's concerned about soul winning. one that's concerned about outreaches, one that's concerned about missions. See, our reason to exist is to share the gospel, to reach the lost. And then we're to disciple them and teach them to do the same thing. Jesus would say in Matthew 28:19-20, He would say, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." See, that's our job, to go and win them, to teach them, to baptize them, teach them then to go out and do the same thing. I think I definitely include a soul-winning church in the type of church I wanted to be a part of. Now, we can all talk about what we want to see in a church, where we're going to go and join. But are you ready for this? I shared this statement on the Facebook post this week in the video. The church will never be more than what you and I are. It'll never be more than what you and I are. See, we decide what kind of a church this is going to be. We vote every Sunday when we come into here. If this is going to be a friendly church, then it's our job to get up and be friendly. My little grandbabies followed me around everywhere, shaking hands every Sunday morning. I kept stepping back, stepping on them this morning. I said, "Baby, I'm sorry. You know, but they're going with me. They're learning at an early age. Go around and speak to people. If you want a church that's friendly, you got to be friendly. You want a church that's loving, you got to be loving. You want a church that is forgiving, you got to forgive. You want a church that is non-judgmental, then you can't judge. You want a church that is Bible-believing, then you got to be reading your Bible. You want a church that is evangelistic, that shares the gospel, then you need to be doing it. You want a church that's mission-minded, then you need to be mission-minded." Now today we're concluding our 4-week study on missions. And the message today is really more just informational, more of a teaching message. And just real easy, I want a 3-point outline. I'll talk about why do we support missionaries. I want to just remind you what missionaries we support, and then just briefly, how do we support our missionaries? And at the close of the service this morning, then after the invitation, I'm going to give you a chance to take your Faith Promise mission card and say, "Hey, preacher, I'd like to get involved with this mission thing. And this is how I'd like to do it." We'll give you an opportunity to do that. Why do we support missionaries? I mean, why is it important to have Faith Promise missions? Why set apart a portion of our general budget for missions as well? Well, very simply, it's because that is God's plan. We support missionaries because Acts 1:8 says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me under the uttermost parts of the earth." Matthew 28:19, we talked about a moment, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Acts 13:47, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Mark 16:15, "And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Scripture teaches we're to be mission-minded. As a church, we cannot be right with God if we're not involved in world missions. And by the same means, we as individuals cannot be fully right with God if we're not doing something for missions. Missions is a priority with God. The old preacher used to say, God only had one son and he was a missionary. If missions is that great of a priority with God, don't you think it ought to be a priority with us? Why do we support missionaries? Well, God tells us to. Second thought this morning, what missionaries do we support? You may not know. We have mission letters out here in the annex over here. You can go and read missionary letters from our missionaries. They tell us what's going on. We currently have 7 mission projects that we support on a monthly basis, basically about $150 a month for each one of those 7 projects. Most of you know Jacob and Rachel Adesina. They've been with us several times in the services here. You can follow them on Facebook. Now, you may want to jot down their names, okay, so you can find them. You can find them. I believe they're friends with The Crossing, the public Facebook page. They're friends with me on Facebook, if nothing else. It's Adesina Jacob Amosa. I'm going to let you pronounce Rachel's first name. But you can find them on Facebook that way and follow them and see what's going on. They are actually from Nigeria. You know their testimony. Rachel grew up in a Muslim home. Saved from that. Her and Jacob got married. They came over here to the United States. They came to Baptist Bible College. Graduated from college over there, and for the last 25 years they've been serving as missionaries in Nigeria. They have established. Do you know this? I mean, have you noticed how much energy they have? How excited they are? Jacob is 75 years old. Rachel is 68. And they are just a-going and a-bubbling and so full of energy. They've established 6 churches in the last 25 years. They now have pastors in every one of those churches. See, what did they do? They went and they won them. They baptized them. They discipled them. And they're teaching them to do the same thing. They have 6 children. They have a son and 2 daughters that are still in Nigeria. I believe they have a son and a daughter in Canada. Some of you are familiar with their son, Solo. He had left Nigeria, went down to South Africa, got a very good education, came back to Nigeria, couldn't find any employment. He's now living in Poland and working and continuing his education there. Jacob and Rachel are doing a great job. Many of you know Roy and Anna Hendrickson, missionaries to England. You can follow them on Facebook. Anna is on Facebook. Roy grew up in Southern California. Anna's from Humansville, not too far up the road here. They met while attending Baptist Bible College. Roy was my roommate my freshman year when we were in college. All 3 of us worked together at the Royal Sirloin Pit on Glenstone back in the 70s. And I don't know if any of you remember that. John Royal owned that thing. That was the home of the 99. You ready for that? 99 cents on Friday and Saturday night, you could get a steak, chicken fried steak, gravy, baked potato, salad, and a drink, all for 99 cents. Whew! You think we didn't pack that place out? It was date night at the colleges, and here they came. 99 cents. We can give me a dinner. We had a good time back then. But that's how I first got to know Roy and Anna. They were approved as missionaries of the Baptist Bible Fellowship, missionaries to England in 1992. They've been serving in England about 26 years now. They have 1 son, Roy Jr., well, actually Roy the 4th, I guess, lives out in California. And then they have 2 daughters. 1 daughter lives over in England with them, Holly. And then some of you are familiar with Melanie. She lives here in Springfield. So they have 3 children. They've been serving in England now for about 26 years. Steve and Pam Workman are missionaries to Botswana. Pam is on Facebook. You can find her as Pam Fincher Workman. I attended church with them when I was in college. We attended High Street Baptist Church. Pam's dad pastored for many, many years in Gainesville, Texas, not too far of Dallas, where Connie and I were for several years. We knew them there. Steve and Pam were approved as Baptist Bible Missionary Fellowships to Kenya, first of all, in 1983. They served in Kenya for 12 years, and then they went to Jamaica for 6 years. Now for the last 16 years, since 2002, they have been in Botswana. They have a very successful church there in Botswana, but they've also started a Christian school there that's associated with the church. What I understand, it is the largest Christian school in Botswana. The government comes in and will evaluate their school and use it as a model to establish more schools. The president of Botswana has attended their service on many occasions. Steve and Pam are doing a great job in Botswana. Tom and Tony Anderson are missionaries to Belgium. Tony's on Facebook. You can find them there. Very hard field where they are at in Belgium there. They Flemish Belgium. They are in the southern part there. They have 2 daughters. Both of them still live at home. I believe they were up from Indiana, somewhere in that area, I believe is where they originally from. George and Louisa Demarcus. Most of you know them, missionaries to Greece. They're on Facebook. You can find them that way. And I'd encourage you to go to these folks. Like them on Facebook. Tell them you're a member of the Crossing Church. And then you will see their reports and see what they're doing on the mission field. George and Louisa were approved as Baptist Bible Fellowship missionaries to Greece in 1993. Now, they are both from... he's from Greece. She's from Portugal, I believe. They met, I believe, up in New York City. He was not saved. They met up there. They got saved and came to college and then went back to Greece as missionaries. They've been serving there for 25 years. They have one daughter and two sons. Their daughter is married to James Cindy, who's also a Baptist Bible Fellowship missionary, helping them there in Greece with them. Brother Cindy's also been here in our church and visited before. George and Louisa are some of the most evangelistic people you will ever meet. In the last 8 days, if I counted up right, there's almost 40 people they have won to the Lord. And that happens, they have a Voice of Truth service on Friday night, and one on Saturday, and another on Saturday night, and another service on Sunday morning. And a lot of those folks are saved in that service there. A lot of them are saved as they're just out on the street, witnessing, passing out tracts, and talking to people there. A lot of them are refugees from Iran that are coming through there and headed on up to Europe. About a year ago, many of you gave sacrificially so we could buy the chips to put on their cell phone that would give them that Bible in Farsi, their language, and then it would have a complete Bible study with them so it would ground them in the Word of God. Now, George doesn't just win them and leave them, okay? Yesterday morning, if I remember his post on Facebook, over 30 people baptized yesterday morning. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And you and I are having a part in their ministry and what they're doing there. Another part of our mission program is our Love in Action, our food pantry that we have here at the Crossing Church. And a lot of you bring canned goods so that we can put them there in the food pantry. Some of you bring household items, cleaning supplies, paper products, and things like that. And as a church, we help families two or three times a month. There's always somebody that's got a need, somebody that's going through something. And then we have at the holidays, at Thanksgiving, and again at Christmas, we'll help 10 to 12 families most of the time on each of those holidays. This may be people in our church, it may be people in the community, but folks that we know that are just struggling and they need some groceries. Now, we don't give them cash. We give them groceries, okay? Sandra Bellamy does a great job helping oversee that for us, and we appreciate it. But if you look at the slide there, that is a slide that was taken this week in the food pantry down in the basement. And not a whole lot of stuff in it. Not a whole lot of stuff in it. And so we need to restock that. And we'll be able to do that through your faith promise giving, and we'll be able to do that as you folks bring stuff sacrificially, and I appreciate that. One more mission project we have, that's Gearhead Ministry. Some of you are familiar with Gearhead. Junior Kurtoys has been a member of our church. He lives here locally. There's his webpage for Gearhead Ministries. Junior was born and raised in Springfield. He wasn't saved until after he became an adult. Him and Janelle got married later, but after he got saved, he realized he was called to work in the local church. And Junior had a great love for cars. He's a great mechanic, and so he began to start a ministry. He called it Gearhead Ministries, and then I believe about 10 years ago, he went out full-time working with Gearhead Ministries. And that's where they help people with car repairs. Sometimes Junior will do it. Sometimes he can refer them to somebody. Sometimes he can help pay for it, depending on what kind of funds they have. Leslie Landwire, my daughter, was several years ago when we were over at Evergreen, helped Junior put together his first annual car show as a fundraiser for that. Maybe you've seen the car show. Many of you have worked in the car show. They didn't have it this last year because they couldn't secure a location for it to be in. But that's how he raises a lot of his funds, and then churches help support them on a monthly basis. Bottom line, our faith promise offering is how we support our missionaries on a monthly basis. $150 a month for each one of them, basically. From our general budget, we set aside an additional 10% of our income that we give to missions. It's for mission projects, it's for benevolence, it's for outreaches, for things like that, where there are needs. So that's your mission program. It's your program. That's what you're doing. You can have pride in knowing, hey, I gave, I helped support, and I'm having a part in that. Why do we have missions? Well, God says we do. Who do we support? Well, we got the 7 projects. Then the question is, how do we support them? Well, it's back to the first of the message. What kind of church do we want? If you want a church that's mission-minded, you've got to be mission-minded. Now understand our first obligation financially, we all understand it, is to the local church. It's through our tithes and offerings that we give to the local church, how that we support this ministry. But from the, after our tithes, we have an opportunity to give give an offering for Faith Promise, for missions. And at the close of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to fill out that card and say, this is how I want to give the missions. I believe God is speaking to my heart. And I'll be honest with you, we've got a lot of folks gone today. We're going to take the cards up today. We're going to take up the cards next Sunday. And we'll give you one more week. For the next 3 weeks, you've got an opportunity to fill it out. You don't have to do it today. But you've got the next 3 weeks to fill it out. And then the board will take those. We've got a board meeting on the 21st. And we'll total them up and say, this is our missions budget for next year. And this is how we can plan to disperse our mission budget. Let me just mention, in case some of you don't know, you do have a church board. On the board, you have Pam, you have Jeff Buckaloo, you have Mike Pratt, you have Robert, you have Richard Ducker, you have Tim Landwire. Did I get them all? Who? Mike Cotter and myself also sit on the board. Six of them were elected. Mike Cotter and myself sit on the board as pastors. But that's how we draw up the budgets. Now, we'll draw up the budget in the next during the month of October. We'll bring you the general budget. We'll bring you a missions budget in November. You get to approve them. Hey, I like what we're doing. Hey, I don't like what we're doing. But see, it's not my church. It's your church. And if you have a burden for missions, we'll support missionaries. If you don't have a burden, then we won't support missionaries. It's what do we as a church want to do. Now, when you look at that card, you'll notice there's no place for you to write your name. No place to write your name. This is between you and God, okay? But you understand that if you fill that card out and you don't give it, then the mission, we don't have it, we can't send it, okay? But you can mark on there, by faith, I want to give $1, $2, $5, $10, $20, whatever. You can write down any other amount that you want to give. And my offering will be once a week, two times a month, once a month, depending on how you get paid, okay? That way we can kind of figure out, what kind of budget do we have? Now, the way you give is you mark your envelope. There are envelopes in the back. If you didn't know how to do that, there are envelopes in the back. You can write tithe. You can write missions. Whatever you want your offering to go for. On the memo line of your check, you don't even have to put it in an offering envelope, just on the memo line. If you want to write so much tithe, so much missions, you can do it that way. And our ushers and our counters will take care of it that way. But you just think about it. Would you like to get involved in missions in any way? Now, this may be new to you. Maybe you've never heard much about missions and wondered why I teach about missions. And can I just be candid? Anytime the preacher talks about money, people get nervous. We get nervous. Well, it's back to the first part of the message. What kind of church do we want? You want a church where the preacher preaches the Word of God? Well, if you do, then it's his job to teach the church and to get the church involved to pull together. In the book of Ephesians, Paul was writing to the church there, and he says, here's the duties of the preacher in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What he's saying, Paul, it's your job to equip the church. Until they mature, until they grow into manhood. The Greek word literally means there, until they are a full-grown man. Now, this may be new to you, and that's okay. If you've got a question, you come see me. Come see one of the pastors. We'll help you. You don't understand, there's pamphlets about Faith Promise missions in the back. We don't talk about finances a lot, but it's your church. And I think you need to know what we do with the finances and where it goes. To be scriptural, the pastor has to teach on these things on occasions. Anyway, just in summary, also to address our general budget, so you know, to pay the bills, to pay the insurance. Oh boy, we just had the insurance, you know, to take care of insurance, do everything we do around the church and all. I believe our budget is just over $2,300 a week. Now, I'll be honest with you, from the first of the year, our offerings are running. I think the last financial report I saw, the offerings are averaging just over, right at $2,100 a week for the whole year. As a board and a staff, we're committed to keep the church on solid financial ground. If the offerings don't come in, we don't spend it. But even though our offerings are below budget, I'm happy to tell you we are in the black for the year. Okay, not much, but we're in the black. And I thank God for that. You know the only way we can do that is through your faithful giving. And so I commend you and thank you again for what you do. You know, bottom line, we're all trying to be good stewards of what God's blessed us with. And as your pastoral staff, as your board, we try to be good stewards of what God's blessed us with. Now the question is, have you been praying, God, what should I do for missions this next year? Church gives a portion, a little bit of that that I give to the tithe, to the local church. They use that for missions and outreaches and all, but I want to have a part in supporting these missionaries on a monthly basis. If you do, then, hey, fill out that card. Drop it in today, next Sunday, or the next week, and we can set up our budgets from there and we'll know what we can count on, okay? Don't put your name on the card. Don't put your name on the card. It's between you and God. In a moment, you'll have an invitation. You may want to come and pray for the missionaries. You follow them on Facebook. Some of them go through some pretty tough times. You may want to come and get one of the other cards and Judean prayer cards and say, listen, I want to pray for somebody. I want to add them to that prayer list. You can do that. We've got some of these little tracts now laying here on the altar. Some of them across the back says, this is your life. It's in the funny book. Okay? Little funny book. It's how you can share the gospel. You ought to take several of these and you ought to hand them out. You ought to lay them down. I went to the bathroom over by the library over at Panera Bread the other day, and there laid a tract somebody put in there. I said, well, that's good. I like that. Put them out wherever you go. But let's be mission-minded. Oh, I'll close with this story, okay? Maybe pull the point home for us. There was a young man who had just recently got married. And he and his new bride, they just enjoyed being around each other all the time. He came home one day and said, honey, I'm sorry, but the boss is saying I've got to go to a business meeting up in Chicago next week. And she said, honey, I don't want you to be gone. You know, we're just newlyweds. And he said, I promise you this. He said, I got to fly out on Tuesday, and I promise you, I'll fly back home Friday as soon as the meetings are over. I'll be back home Friday. We'll spend the weekend together. And she said, okay, that'll be all right. So the next week, he flew to Chicago on Tuesday. He had the meetings on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The meeting on Friday went a little longer than they'd expected. So he was late coming to the airport that evening. And he grabbed his baggage. He ran into the terminal there. He got checked in, started down the run to the concourse there, going towards his plane. He heard him call over the PA speaker, final call for his flight number. He thought, man, I got to hurry. There were people everywhere. The terminal was full that day. A lot of people traveling that day. And he's running, trying to make it because he knows he promised his wife, his new bride, he's going to be home tonight. And he knows this is the last flight out of Chicago coming back home. He can't miss it. Just up ahead of him a little bit, the story says there was a girl sitting there on the side of the hallway. She had a little table set up, had some apples on it, and she was selling some apples. And he noticed that somebody up in front of him hit that table and just knocked them apples, and they went all over the floor. They went everywhere. And as he got a little closer, he could tell it was a young girl. She was 16 years old, and she was blind. She couldn't see. And she's trying to feel and find the apples. The story says that the people began to go around her. They began to step over her. Some of them kicked the apples out of the way. And she's trying to find the apples. She's weeping. And he thinks, you know, I'd like to help her, but they've already called last boarding for my plane. If I miss this flight, I'm not going to make it home tonight. My wife, I promised her I'd be home tonight. And he steps around her and starts on down the hall. And something just tugged at his heart. He thought, I'm just going to have to call my wife and tell her I'll be home tomorrow. And he went back and he began to pick up the apples and help the girl. He helped her set the table up, began to put the apples up on the table. Then he looked at some of them, and they're kind of bruised, kind of beat up. And he looked at her, and he said, honey, I'm sorry. He said, these aren't worth selling anymore. So he reached in his pocket, pulled his billfold out, and pulled out $20, and said, let me pay for these. The little girl was weeping. She said, sir, I was blind, and I couldn't find the apples. I didn't know what I was going to do. And he said, well, they're all here for you now. You'll be okay. He turned and started to walk away. She said, mister, "Mister, can I ask you a question?" And he stopped and he came back and said, "What is it?" She said, "Can I ask a question?" He said, "Well, what can I help you with?" She said, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped and he said, "No," he said, "now, I try to be kind and loving and caring, but, you know, I'm not Jesus. He was much more of that than I am." "Why do you ask me that?" And she said, "When I was trying to find my apples, I couldn't find them. And I prayed and said, God, would you send Jesus to help me get my apples?" "Sir, you must be Jesus. Today, there are people in our community saying, would you be Jesus to me? There are people in Samaria in turmoil looking for Jesus. There are people, in Judea in turmoil looking for Jesus. People in Samaria that are different, that are looking for Jesus. People in the uttermost part of the world saying, who will be Jesus to us?" Question this morning, will you, will I be Jesus? We can do that through our mission of faithfulness. Let's stand if you will. We have a word of prayer this morning. I think we're just going to have a video in a moment to play. But if you've got a need this morning, you want to come pray, you do that. You want to come and pray for missionaries, you do that. You want to pick up one of the prayer cards down here for the Judean prayer list, you do that.